Hey, you're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today on the show, a conversation with Borns. Borns' latest album, Blue Madonna, features his stratospheric vocal range along with some guest singing by Lana Del Rey and the same delightfully off-kilter pop sensibility that defined his smash hit Electric Love a couple years ago. Prince was a fan of that song. We talk about Borns' childhood ambitions, including a career he invented called Skateboard Medic, and his carefully curated sense of fashion, whether it's a tied-up crop top with floral patterning or a full-body lace turtleneck with an impeccably tailored Gucci suit over top. Borns dresses with purpose.
I hope it just like inspires, you know, sort of this freedom and just everyone to kind of like have a party and get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird, okay? Spoiler alert, for someone with such avant-garde presentation, Borns is shockingly well-adjusted. Turns out he had great supportive parents. Go figure. Before our conversation, let's listen to a little bit of a song off Borns' latest album, Blue Madonna. This one's called Faded Heart. That is Faded Heart by Borns off his latest record called Blue Madonna. Borns, welcome to the World Cafe.
Hello.
Hi. We're happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So I wanted to start with talking about your voice because the record hangs on it, and it's really beautiful. And singers never confess this, but when you were about to go on tour, you put out this series of videos. I want to play people a clip of one of them. We see you in a hotel room. You're wearing sunglasses, and you have this big fur blanket on, and then this.
Need to get my voice back.
Mr. Gitt, you're gonna have to get that voice back step. We have three big shows in this big city. That's New York City. People don't play around here. You better get that voice back or you're gonna have to lip sync.
I am not a lip syncer.
The kids are expecting a performance tonight.
I am not a lip syncer.
You're gonna have to sync for the kids.
I'll get my voice back. You mark my words.
Okay, there you go. So singers never confess that, Borns. Why did you want to put that story out while going out on a big tour? That's not a true story, is it? Is it?
The whole video series, I guess, was it was the first like tour that I had done in a while because I got off the road to make Blue Madonna. And so it was kind of just getting back on the road and sort of all of these existential questions that were happening in the back of my mind of like, are people even going to want to hear the old songs anymore? Are they just expecting the new stuff? Are they even going to remember who I am? Can my voice hold up on this, like, tour that I'm doing? And so I get into this mental frenzy, and then everything just starts going wrong, you know? Like, my voice is gone, and it's taken by this sort of, like, dark spirit animal that I have to face by the end of the tour, you know? But then by the end, I kind of like face my demons and I get my voice back. So yeah, there you go.
It's funny how much of it is psychological when it comes to using your voice and how the more you get in your own head about it.
Right.
When did you figure out that you had this colossal vocal range?
Well, I'm still discovering it, I guess. When I first started like singing with a group, I was like 17. My friends were older and they could like get into bars and play these bar shows, but they needed like a lead singer. So they would like sneak me into these bars and I would sing songs with them. And they're always like really noisy atmospheres. In order to hear myself, I had to sing as high as I could and like almost really shrill. It wasn't even that like nice sounding. I just kind of had to do it. So then I just kind of started singing like that, just kind of high. But and then I met this, like an opera singer I remember the first time being in a room with him, he sang this operatic piece for me, and like if I could feel the room shake just because his voice was so strong. He was using his entire body, and I was like, oh, I thought your voice comes from your throat, but his voice came from like the tips of his toes. Like this dude, like, you know. So he taught me a lot of ways of like warming up and using your entire body as an instrument, and I think that changed the way I looked at performing and singing. It's definitely not just the physical place where your voice sits or comes out of. It's your entire body.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite vocal moment on the album that we should play now as sort of an example of that?
Oh, I mean, We Don't Care, I feel like, has one of those moments, especially at the end. Yeah.
Good, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's We Don't Care by Borns. He's my guest here on The World Cafe. So while we're on the topic of voices, the record also has a vocal cameo on God Save Our Young Blood, also on Blue Madonna. But mm-hmm. I want to talk about God Save Our Young Blood. It's Lana Del Rey. And you've said that you wrote that song with her in mind. Mm-hmm. Why did you know that you wanted to work with her?
Well, I've always loved Lana's music. I think she's such a brilliant writer. And just lyrically and conceptually, just her songs are so just Lana. They're just oozing with Lana, you know? Mm. And I've always really admired that in an artist, that they have their vernacular and like their the melodies that make them. I love how bold she can be with her titles and songs and stuff. So just the title alone, I just pictured her on it. I could hear her voice saying that title, God Save Our Young Blood. So, and then I was doing some background vocals kind of in the spirit of her. And then she later heard the song and really liked it and wanted to sing on it. So, yeah.
I read that you sort of did your own best Lana impression when you were recording those demos.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, am I already on this?
What does that sound like? Can I put you on the spot? You don't have to.
No. Wait, maybe. It might be too early. God save our young blood. It's like that. That's the harmony that I tried to do that sound like her. God save our young blood.
Okay, well, let's thanks for that impression. Let's hear the way that it manifests on the record. Here's God Save Our Young Blood by Borns. That's a clip of God Save Our Young Blood by Borns featuring Lana Del Rey. So was there anything that surprised you about working with her?
Yeah, she knows exactly what she wants in the studio. There's like no second guessing. It was really inspiring to work with her because she, like the verse that she sang on Blue Madonna, like she just sang it. She didn't write anything down. She didn't even like say anything. She just like went to the microphone and I put the song on, and it was just an instrumental break at the end with like this backwards guitar solo, and she just sang that, and like I was like, okay, that'll do. so that's how she works. That's how good she is. She's just, it just kind of comes out of her, you know. So,
well, let's hear that. Let's hear that piece of Blue Madonna. So that is Blue Madonna, the title track off Bourne's latest record. He's my guest here on The World Cafe. You've said before that sometimes performing can feel like there's a sort of godlike quality to it. And I'm thinking, too, of Lana. Like, we did a session with her recently, and I think some of her fans look at her as, like, a deity. And there's this idea of you standing in a place and your booming voice and everybody's listening to what you're doing. Is that a feeling that's true for you?
Yeah, it can be. I feel like the whole concept of being on a stage and having your voice amplified, and so you're sort of this like omnipotent being. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of power. It's sort of in your like your headspace too at the time, because you can really play up that role, you know. But anyway, sorry, I don't really know what I'm talking about.
No, not at all. But then you're so there. But there's like a great contrast because you're so human and low-key and all those things. So just, is it like a flip that you have to make in your brain to go and be and do that thing?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I can never really remember performances. Yeah, I don't really remember what I'm doing up there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So it's like you've gone somewhere else, something happened, and everybody else will tell you about it afterwards?
Kind of. I mean, it's not that I zone out. I think I'm just really in the moment. Yeah, so I don't think I'd go somewhere else. I just think I'm more conscious than ever, in a way. Yeah, it's really hard to explain. It's such an interesting thing to sing with a room full of people, because there's also this communication that's happening because you're facing each other, you know? You wouldn't be there without each other, you know? So it's like kind of a synergy, and the audience is so important to a show. I mean, way more than the whole production and me being up there in a suit is important, you know? It's like, I guess it's like a sort of a yin and yang situation.
On the yin and yang tip, you, Taoism, I know, is like a big part of, I guess, something that you were thinking about in making this record, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me something that you've taken from that set of beliefs that's been helpful to you?
Yeah. I mean, just the source of creative energy in everyone, you know? I was really curious about how to sustain my creative energy on the road. Like when I was doing the first tours, it was a lot. I just had kind of nonstop press and playing every kind of show that I could, which was really a great endurance test. But it was also just kind of like nonstop stimulation, and especially like, a performance is just like, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of creativity, and a lot of sexual energy to perform. And that's like, I think, one of the main principles of Taoism, is that your sexual energy is your creative energy, and you don't want to completely deplete yourself of that, because that's vital energy that you're losing. So yeah, I was reading up on just kind of how to sustain that. And it's a practice, you know, you have to just keep practicing it as you're going on. But I've definitely felt myself become like stronger creatively on the road, just from just being aware of that. So yeah, there's a lot of Taoist secrets too that I can't exactly even go into right now, because we'd be here forever. but I think they're applying them to being on the road. And so there's always this quest for immortality in like Taoist literature that I find very interesting. And I'm like, well, you know, that would help a lot on the road. Because, you know, you're not always getting much sleep. You're not always getting, sometimes when you're playing late, you forget to eat because it's like, it's late and like your adrenaline's up and like you can't even sleep until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think just being able to balance yourself spiritually is kind of key. So yeah.
Can you pick a song for me where I guess like where balance feels like it really shows up?
where balance shows up.
Can I look at your track list if you want?
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, sure. What is it, even though I'm like literally playing the whole album verbatim the whole night, yeah. I should know the track list.
I know that's sort of a weird question, but I think, you know what, like, when I'm, Man comes to mind for me just because of the idea, I don't know if that's an appropriate one for you,
yeah.
It could for the idea of like looking down from on high, but then also sort of like being of the earth.
And yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Can we
absolutely
do that?
Sure.
Okay, let's play Man. That's a bit of Man by Borns off his latest record called Blue Madonna. So the styling for the album is amazing. And,
oh, thanks.
And your whole presentation, I know that Catherine Tipaldos, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
I know that Catherine Tipaldos did the styling for the images that we see. Can you describe for people who haven't seen the record cover what you are wearing on the cover of this album?
Yeah, I'm wearing a Gucci suit, sort of a 70s style. Sort of a beige with some racing stripes on it. It's definitely a good suit to move around and dance in.
It's yeah. beautifully tailored, and it also, what I like it underneath it, there's like this white lace sort of turtleneck with a floral pattern, and you've got like eyeshadow that matches the floral pattern. But as I was looking through it, I was thinking about somebody like David Bowie as Ziggy Stardust in the early 70s, mm-hmm. and makeup and a tight jumpsuit and this like really stylized look that is kind of androgynous and that you can't put into a particular box. And I think at the time that sort of presentation was considered really transgressive, and people thought that it said something about the person who was looking that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that we live in a really different time right now, but I'm not sure. So what's mm-hmm. your experience of that? Are there assumptions that people make about you based on the artistic presentation of what you do?
Probably. there probably are. I feel like when I notice it the most is when I'm performing. People come to the show dressed almost for the occasion, you know? I feel like who knows, maybe people are wearing like 70 shades and floral, like silk tops, and dye their hair purple every day. I mean, I hope they do, and that's awesome. But I hope it just like inspires, you know, sort of this freedom and just everyone to kind of like people just to have a party and get weird. But honestly, I just like, I've always loved putting on different characters and seeing what that does to your mind and your creativity. When I was young, I was always dressing up.
And like, who do you remember dressing up as when you were young? Like, give me one example.
I mean, I had phases for a while. Like, I was Robin Hood for a while.
For a while, you mean like to school and like in daily life, or just
yeah,
like
wherever I could get away with it, I uh-huh. guess. and even just like different occupations. Like, I was really into skateboarding, but I was also really into this idea of like being sort of a, like always having my first aid kit on me and kind of being like the ambulance of the neighborhood. So whenever kids were going off jumps, hurting themselves, I would just like roll up and like bandage them up. And so I just had like a lot of different occupations as a kid that I thought were going to be, this is it. I'm going to be a skateboarding
paramedic skateboarders, yeah.
For life. But then I just realized, oh, it's not that thing that I love. It's just getting into something new and diving into it. And then doing another thing, getting into that. So,
did you ever think of being an actor? Like, that sounds like you, like on that track.
No, that's too serious.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just kind of liked playing around, and I think this is just like to me, this is just me still playing around.
Yeah.
And just trying new characters, so, yeah.
I read that you made your own clothes when you were a kid, too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, altered them, and this was at a time when distressed jeans were, like, really cool for kids in high school, but all these brands were, like, charging so much for just, like, ripped, you know, bleach-splattered, acid-washed jeans, so I was like, I'm just gonna do it myself. I'll just get cheap jeans and just, like, soak them with bleach or just, like, put them in the washer with rocks or, like, sandpaper the hell out of them. And I was just doing that for kids at school.
So, and you're in Grand Haven, Michigan, right? Like, I was wondering whether your sort of avant-garde fashion sensibilities when you were young were, like, accepted or revered or rejected or what?
I think they weirded some people out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, like, middle school and high school. Like, everybody's so sensitive, you know? So I definitely, I mean, that's just, like, you know, growing up and just having your awkward times. And I kind of loved just, like, challenging that and just having fun. And, yeah.
Borns is my guest here on The World Cafe. His latest record is called Blue Madonna. One of the big stories around your debut album is that you were living in L.A. in an abode among the trees, a treehouse. Did you ever think that you would become the poster child for treehouse living? That
no,
so many people would ask you about this.
Dang, yeah, I need to have my own TV show.
You do.
Like 2 Chainz has most expensivest, you know?
Can you describe what it was, though?
I have, like, most treehousiest. Just like, can I explain the treehouse?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be some crazy elaborate lie now because I've had to tell this story so many times.
It's so glamorous. Yeah.
But
it's just in the trees is what we need to know.
It's up there. It's like it's surrounded by all of these fruit trees, and I had an outdoor kitchen, which was really nice until it got into the colder months. It does get cold in LA.
Yeah.
And it rains a bit, but
So here's why I'm asking. Yeah. Here's why I'm asking about it, because it's one of those things that I feel allows people to, like, easily visualize you as somebody who is a particular type of person.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, this is like a person who has a different reality than we do, or this is a quirky artist who lives in a treehouse. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Was there a point when you were very sick of people sort of putting you in that wooden box or tree, I guess, as it were?
No, I mean that was like a childhood dream come true. So.
Okay.
I'm totally okay being the treehouse guy.
Where do you live now?
I will always be in the treehouse in my heart. I don't live in the treehouse anymore, but I live in somewhat of an elevated, lofty situation.
You must have had really good parents, because I feel like you're not fazed by any, like, I feel like you're really comfortable with who you are.
Well, my folks, like, they kind of just let me do my thing. And, yeah, I mean, they're very great people. And they were never too concerned with my very strange creative outlets. They were like, yeah, let him do his thing. So that's good. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You had this huge moment a couple years ago when you released your debut record, Dopamine, where all of a sudden your song Electric Love was everywhere. And in case people can't remember, I want to play a clip of it.
Sure.
That's a bit of Electric Love by my guest, Borns. Big story around this is one of the final interviews Prince ever gave. He named that song as something that he loved, which has got to be incredible. And he said that what he loved about it was that he couldn't tell what the song was inspired or influenced by. First of all, like, was it inspired or influenced by him?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of Prince in all of my songs. I can't escape that. Or I don't know if anyone can escape that, really, you know?
No.
It's like saying fashion isn't inspired by things that Bowie has done, you know, like, to this day. And just his Bowie's collaborators. It's funny, like, when I listen to Electric Love, I hear all these songs that, I hear little moments of songs that were my favorite songs growing up. And,
Oh, wow, like, give me one example.
Well, there's this Turtle song called Happy Together.
Yeah.
And the verses are very kind of minor and kind of haunting, and then it goes into this big, major chorus. I can't see me loving nobody but you. And that, to me, was always like, baby, all I know about, you know?
Let's play it.
Yeah, sure.
There you go. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, so ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine, so happy together. Okay, let's Happy Together, the Turtles. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. And then that, to me, I wanted this huge, grandiose, heart explosion of a chorus, and that was, you know, Electric Love.
I imagine that the song Electric Love changed a lot for you.
Mm-hmm.
What did you notice most as a change after that song really blew up?
I guess I remember being on tour and all these, like, tour, and just seeing more and more people react to it. Then I played, like, Coachella for the first time, and it was, like, the whole, like, everyone was singing it, and it was this crazy thing. And I was playing in Europe a lot, and people knew it over there, and so it was kind of wild to see, you know, it spread around. And I guess I didn't really think about it as, like, a song that everyone would know, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you came home after this really long time on tour, and then what's the come down like after that sort of giant leap forward?
Well, at that point, I'd played Electric Love how many times?
Right.
I think I was ready to be in one place for a little bit and just change my headspace again, because I love touring and I love. Once you're on the road for a long time, things just don't faze you anymore. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of things that you can just kind of, like, fly right past by. And yeah, you kind of just accept, like, the things that happen. It's like you don't really sweat small things. So I really like that about tour. But
that's funny. It makes some people go the very opposite way. Like, I've heard so many people sit where you are and tell me the exact opposite thing, that things, yeah, that they used to be so relaxed about, now they're, like just... Like, especially with the people that they're traveling with, that that little things will drive them bonkers and get to them. And it sounds like that's, yeah, such an opposite reaction to what I hear more often.
Mm. Well, it's a very mental game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can kind of drive yourself crazy if you let yourself.
Do you meditate every day?
Yeah, I guess I try to, and even when I'm not meaning to, I think I sort of am. But I try to do yoga, too. I think that's a huge help on the road. And just staying limber, like keeping your thoughts limber and keeping your body limber is like, you know, you're moving a lot and you're traveling many miles, but you're definitely stagnant, you know, because you're just kind of sitting there in a bus. And then you're playing a show and then you're sitting in a bus or you're laying in a bunk. I think it's important to move a lot. Yeah.
I like keeping your thoughts limber. That's a really good thing to remember, I
think. Yeah, definitely.
It's like one of the most harmful things when your thoughts get stuck.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And keeping note of how you're feeling every day, you know? Touring is such a different reality, and just because you're on tour doesn't mean you want to play shows every night, you know? There's nights that you don't want to go, don't necessarily want to go on stage, or you're not feeling like a performer, or your voice is shot. And I've found that I think some of my favorite performances come from when I'm least ready to perform, or I think, like, oh, I can't sing, like, I can't, like, hit those notes tonight. But why do you have to hit those notes, you know? Why, like, should find a different way of singing the song, which is way more inspiring than hitting the same notes every night, so, yeah.
Yeah. Borns is my guest here on The World Cafe. His latest record is called Blue Madonna. So you had said that on your debut, which included the song Electric Love, you were sort of writing about love as a chemical, like dopamine as love. And also a lot of the songs sort of seem to be about this idealized person and a vision of something. And when to my ear on Blue Madonna, you're writing about love in a very different sort of a way. And can you put your finger on what that different sort of a way is?
I feel like I've always had sentimental thoughts for a lot of things, and not just people, but just like moments and just the air around you and these tangible things in a moment. I just have like a lot of sentimentality. I feel like ever since I was really young, I was always collecting things, and like I would come back home from school with my pockets filled with rocks and things I found on the playground, just because I'm just like, oh, this is the most beautiful stone I've ever seen. I have to keep it. And like, so Bye Bye Darling is a song about...
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. I'm so glad you brought it up. Yeah.
Is a song about sort of having to say goodbye to these things that held so much sentiment in your life, like reading a book that you can hold on to and you can touch and smell and crease, versus something that's, you know, virtual or digital, or using your voice to communicate with someone, like talking on the phone with someone, mm-hmm. or leaving them a message, even talking to them in person. And then the last example was the accidental run-in with someone that somehow you both walked out of your door at a certain time that day and just bumped into each other on the street, or went to the same coffee shop, or accidentally made eye contact somewhere. And that sort of happenstance not happening so much, because there is sort of this distraction with a virtual age, you know? And yeah, just something that made me really sad on one hand, and also just kind of accepting that this is where we are now. And that's how, like, you know, this sort of time and our culture, that's just what it's like. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have to follow those rules, but yeah.
So it's a goodbye to, I guess, ideas or ways of being more than it is to a person.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the closing track, Bye Bye Darling, and I'm going to say, Borns, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, you too. Hey, that's Bye Bye Darling, the last track off Borns' latest album called Blue Madonna. I want to thank Borns so much for coming in to chat. Thanks to our senior producer, Kimberly Junod, for running that session. I'm Talia Schlanger. This is The World Cafe.